Welcome to another My Tunes podcast on manxradio.com.
Mark Tiley, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
This week on My Tunes, we return to the world of music and a music man called Dave Rolfs. Dave, welcome to My Tunes.
Hello.
Now, it's great to have you in here. I've been meaning to catch up with you for a long time, but to say you're busy is a bit of an understatement.
Certainly feels that way.
Now, when you're not playing and performing, doing your own thing, you're encouraging people of various ages to do the same.
Tell me
all about this.
Well, so I do the Rock Project, which is teaching kids how to be in bands, and we do vocals, guitar, bass, drums. We do keyboards on the summer schools as well, but not in our termly sessions. Also teaching various instruments myself through private lessons. It's great fun.
Now, the Rock Project is it global or is it Europe-wide?
It is technically global, although that's just because they have a couple in India. Mainly it's the UK, British Isles. So they've got some in Ireland. And then around the British Isles, yeah.
So is it something like a franchise you're running?
It is a franchise. There's a guy in Denby called Stuart Wynn who came up with this idea that he wanted to run sessions to teach kids how to be in bands. And he came up with this way of doing it so that it's just to make sure that everybody could have a really good go at the instruments. So we do a two-hour session. We have an hour, which is a small group lesson on the instruments. And then we have another hour where we put all the instruments together in a band. So everybody learns the same song each week. So everyone can then play the song all together.
And how does it differ from conventional instrument lessons?
To a certain extent, it's the same because we're still doing technique. We're still doing all the extra things that you would do in lessons. But we have the ensemble that brings together each week. If you take on a classical instrument, for instance, you can learn. Let's take violin, for instance. You can learn violin in your lessons, you can do your grades, and you can also do your grades by never, ever playing with anybody, ever. Yeah? You can obviously join orchestras or string groups or that sort of thing, but they're extra, whereas on the Rock Project, that's the whole point of what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the kids playing together, because personally, most fun I have playing my instruments playing with other people, so why don't we do that with everybody?
Absolutely. We'll talk a lot more about the Rock Project later in the week. Take me back to growing up and becoming the music person that you are.
I can't remember anything before 4 years old, but I do remember Yamaha keyboard school when I was 4 years old. I loved it because we had little magnetic buttons that we'd put on a metallic stave, and you'd put these things on to try and learn the notes and everything. It was great fun. And I distinctly remember that and going and playing on these small keyboards. It's great fun.
Keyboard first then for you?
It was keyboard first. Yeah, not my main love by any stretch of the imagination these days. But yeah, we started off on keyboard. But that was, not only was that keyboard, but that was the music theory, the reading of the notes and learning how to read music, which is complex, can be.
Now, we have got a fabulous choice of music for the week. I've had a good look ahead. I've had a sneaky peek. Take us through the first one.
Now, this is the first song that I remember having as our own. So me and my brother, I've got an older brother who's 2-3 years older than me. And we bought this one. And this is Was Not Was, Walk the Dinosaur. And this is the one I remember just, you know, being able to put it on our own system upstairs in our rooms and listening to this.
Just got
This week, choosing the tracks and having a natter on my tunes is Dave Rolls, well-known musician on the Isle of Man. We mentioned, and we'll talk more about, the Rock Project, which is something you look after, with a lot of very, very fine young talent here. But I want to talk today about getting into the process of sound, about engineering or producing, because you've had a tremendous amount of experience in working the sound for other people. How did that start?
Well, it started having learnt loads of musical instruments. I play at my local church, but they also, because it was a big church, had a sound system. And that interested me, the fact that we could make things louder and make people hear things. And so when I wasn't playing with the band in the church, I would be sitting on the sound desk watching how they did it and then doing it myself.
And it didn't stop there?
It didn't, not at all. I really got into it. And so I specifically chose my A-levels in order to get on to the sound engineering courses at university so that I could learn how to be better at it.
And that was Salford?
Salford University is where I ended up. I wanted to go to Surrey.
The Tonmeister
course.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could have gotten that. But unfortunately, I perhaps wasn't as diligent at my A-levels as I could have been and didn't get the grades to go there. So I went to Salford, but Salford was great. I met some wonderful people there and got to play with a lot of very expensive equipment in studios and had lots of fun.
Now, so many people make music at home these days and produce varying degrees of success, I would say. But the big stuff that goes out on tour is a different world, isn't it?
It is, yes, completely. I'm lucky enough to work with some really big name artists, and you get to use some really shockingly expensive toys. The mixing desk I used on the last big show I did before lockdowns and COVID stopped us all doing that was worth the price of a small house. That was just the mixing desk alone, let alone the rest of the stuff.
Unbelievable. Take me through your relationship with the Stables, which is Milton Keynes way, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you got some work there.
I did, yeah. After university, I had a lovely little retail job that bumped up my finances a bit. But eventually, I was at the Stable. I managed to find a job at the Stables Theatre. Stables Theatre was set up by Dame Cleo Lane and Sir John Dankworth, two jazz legends, amazing people. And the Stables Theatre has a great reputation. It comes in at one of the top 50 venues in the country, in the UK. And I managed to get into there, and that's how I learnt to be really good at live sound. It's a bit of a difficult room to engineer in, so you either get good or you quit. I managed to get good.
But working in a static location probably means you get to know every single nuance of the room and the kit, whereas if you're dragging it around the country, it's always a bit of a rush.
If in the Stables, you get everything there. You know, you can plug things in really quickly. You just, like, everything works. When you're touring, a lot of the time you have to bring your own PA with you, your own desk. You've got to bring the whole thing in, plug it all together, make sure it works, solved out problems. It's a whole different ballgame.
Let's have today's track.
Today's track is one of my favourite bands in the world, Muse, and Plug-In Baby. This is the track that made me want to play guitar better.
Ah, and did it work?
It did, yes.
That's good.
I've exposed
at some stage during this week of My Tunes with my guest Dave Rolls, we better get him to the Isle of Man. In fact, we'll probably do that today, Dave, in a moment, because we haven't got here yet. But let's talk about touring. We've talked about the stables, but this touring band, the Illegal Eagles.
Yes.
You spent a lot of time with them.
I did, several years touring with doing sound monitors for the Illegal Eagles. Yeah, Eagles tribute bands, listening to Eagles music 3-4 nights a week, repeatedly for 3 months.
It's all right for a while. But you mentioned just quickly then, you said you were doing the monitors.
Yeah.
So talk me through this. You have some people doing the front of house sound and some people just looking after what the band are listening to. Is that right?
Indeed, yeah. So the front of house sound is what everybody in the audience hears. And hopefully that's mixed all nicely so you can hear everything properly. The monitors are purely what the guys on stage need to hear. And that a lot of the time isn't every single instrument. And on stage, you only want to hear what you need to hear to be able to do your job properly. You don't necessarily want this lovely, lush mix that sounds really lovely, because you might not be able to pick out your mistakes and correct them.
Exactly. Now, these days, I see a lot of artists wearing what look like tiny little headphones and the big old floor monitors and stuff, not so much. Was that in-ear monitoring you were doing, or was that on the floor-mounted stuff?
In the Illegal Eagles case, it was a combination of both.
Oh wow!
So a couple of them had in-ear monitors where they've got their just like Apple earbuds really, but a lot more advanced. Yeah, they'd have those in, and they'd just be able to hear themselves or whatever they want in their mix. And then some of them would have the floor monitors, so they'd hear the sound around them and the other instruments. So again, the floor monitors, you don't need as much in them. When you get into your in-ears, you need to put a lot more instruments in there so they can hear what's going on.
It must be an incredibly important relationship between you and the musicians to be the monitor guy, because they're demanding more from you, I would suggest, than the audience are demanding from the guy on the sound desk, who just pretty much get what they're given.
I mean, hopefully your front of house guy will make it sound as close to the record as they can. In this case, for a tribute act, you want it to sound like the record. The artist will want to hear everything as crystal clear as they can at the right level, because especially for singers, if you've got too much level, you're going to undersing and therefore sing flat, because you're trying not to be blared out. And if you've got too little volume in the monitor, you're going to oversing and go sharp, because you're struggling to hear yourself. So it's a big balancing act to make sure that you can hear everything correctly and therefore put on the best performance.
So you really are responsible for helping them get the very best out of their performance. But it wasn't them that brought you to the Isle of Man.
It wasn't, no.
I thought it was. So how did you get here?
I got here through the stables again. The stables did a teaching summer camp called National Youth Music Camps. And there, at that, I met my now wife, Laura. Laura Payne, as she was then. Laura Rolls now. And I met her there. We kind of hit it off. And then I bounced to and from the island visiting her, and she would come to Milton Keynes and visit me. And then eventually, when I got touring with the Illegal Eagles, I was like, well, I don't really need to be in Milton Keynes to start. Tours start, you just get to the first date, and then they travel you around the country to all the dates. So I thought, I'm going to move over. And so I moved over to the Isle of Man to be with Laura.
And a good move it was.
Indeed.
And our gain was Cleo Lane's loss. So there we go. I want to talk tomorrow about a few more people you've toured with and your plans for taking things forward here on the Isle of Man. But let's have today's track. What's it going to be?
Well, today's track takes us out of the stables. And this was a great... The band is called Tankus the Henge. Little bit of a story on this one. I encountered them on a gig at the Stables Theatre, which was the Wonder Stuff. And they're an acoustic duo. You've got a singer with a guitarist and a violin. And they came in, they did the sound check, everything was great, getting late towards doors, and I noticed these people coming in, and I thought nothing of it, because the Wonder Stuff didn't say anything. We finished the Wonder Stuff sound check, and then suddenly, the Wonder Stuff said, these guys are the support. So I have 45 minutes before doors to set up the support. The support is keyboard player, singer, three-piece brass band, two backing singers, guitar and bass. Pretty much, completely total departure from an acoustic duo that you had. So I had 45 minutes to get these guys on stage, put monitors out, put all the microphones out, get them all sound checked. So we had to push doors back, but we did manage to get it up and running. And I was really glad I put in the effort because they're a fantastic band, amazing showmen, and they've just got better with the years. So this is Tankus the Henge and my favourite track by them, The Deviationist Society.
Thank you.
this week, we've been talking music. We've been talking about keeping musicians in tune with themselves. We've been talking about some amazing artists. My guest is here in the Isle of Man. He got here yesterday. Well, in terms of the story, been here quite a few years. Dave Rolls, thanks for being on My Tunes.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's lovely to have you here. I want to talk a little bit now, before we wrap this up, about Vanessa May, because you've done some tours with her, and there may be, well, hopefully will be another one.
I hope so. Yeah, definitely. So, the lighting engineer, this is a bit of a bounce, the lighting engineer from the Illegal Eagles said, oh, would you be interested in other gigs? And I said, yes, of course. Of course, I'm always interested in work. He put me forward to work with an amazing artist called Steve Hackett. Steve Hackett, him ex out of Genesis, guitarist, absolutely phenomenal guitarist, and the show. So I did 5 shows doing sound with them, and I say that's the gig that got away. They asked me at some point, oh, would you be interested in doing more shows? And I wasn't quite as just in a little bit of a tall lull, and I wasn't quite as enthusiastic about it as I perhaps could have been. And then, yeah, that went away, which I regret, because it was great working with Steve.
And he didn't ask again?
I didn't ask again, no. And obviously went with somebody else. But that's the way it works, so sometimes.
Because he's touring pretty much at the moment. He's gone back out again, I think. I saw some people who were raving about the Genesis Revisited or something. And I think he's still out there.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's gone. That's like gone. Chris Tarrant says, but we don't want to give you that. Let's have Vanessa May. So let's talk more about Vanessa.
The tour manager for Steve Hackett says, oh, you're doing a good job. Would you be interested in working with Vanessa May? And I said, yeah, of course. No, again, more work. And so he did one show with Vanessa, and he got me in to do monitors for Vanessa. And she hasn't sacked me since.
Brilliant.
So I've been, bouncing around the world to various places working with Vanessa May, which is, again, an amazing. It's a massive show, a very, very complex show.
Now, we haven't talked about COVID. Unfortunately, got it earlier this year. Lots of people have had it since. The impact on the music world has been, well, unbelievable.
It has.
And for everybody. I mean, we're talking about jobs in every element, whether it's looking after the makeup, looking after the lights, looking after the sound. It's been catastrophic, hasn't it?
Yeah, my Facebook feed is just filled with my techie friends just wondering when they were going to work again. It's starting up again now. People are starting to get out now, but it was very, very worrying.
We are moving in the right direction. We know that, but the pace of the comeback hopefully will speed up a little bit soon, because it is definitely needed. Well, look, good luck with Vanessa May. Rock Project, going from strength to strength. Are you recruiting still? Have you got room for more?
We've got a few spaces left at the moment, and we're trying to see if we can open on another night, because our on-concession particularly is almost completely full now. So we're looking to hopefully open another night so we can get some more people rocking.
Now, one thing I meant to ask you is, on the Rock Project, have you seen groups of people go from you onto doing their own band work here on the island and elsewhere?
Certainly. Brilliant. I mean, Glitch is the band that a lot of people may have heard of, and I always get this wrong around. It's Glitch 256, I think, or is it 265? I can't remember. That's terrible. That's really terrible that I can't remember. But
someone will phone in now.
Yes. Anyway, yeah. And they'll let me know.
Yeah.
The three of the guys out of Glitch have been through Rock Project. And they're an awesome band. They met, I think, the fourth member, I think, was either met him through soundcheck or through school. But yeah, they're a great band, and they've been out.
If anyone wants to get in touch with you regarding the Rock Project or anything for that matter, maybe another work. Steve Hackett, by the way, you can always give him a ring. He'll answer the phone to you now. How do they get hold of you?
Just go to our Facebook page, which is obviously Rock Project Isle of Man.
Brilliant.
Or email iom@therockproject.com.
Fantastic. Let's have the final track of the week. I think I know what this is going to be.
Well, this will be Vanessa May. Obviously, I love working with Vanessa, but she was also, I was a big fan in my days when I was learning violin. It's one of the other instruments I learned when I was younger. So, this is my favourite song. And whenever this comes out on the tour, I really love it. So this is I'm a Dune by Vanessa May.
Dave, thank you very much indeed. Here's to more fantastic musicians coming through those sessions and going on to great things, and you too.
Thank you very much.
Kinjani.
Oh, that really is a beautiful track from Vanessa May, chosen for us by Dave Rolls, my guest on My Tunes all this week. And don't forget, join me if you can, Monday to Friday, for the morning show, the Shore Morning Show with me, Mark Tiley, where more My Tunes guests and all sorts of nonsense happens between 9:30 and 12:00.